The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on KrishnaPath.org. Easy Journey to Other Planets, Chapter 2, Varieties of Planetary Systems. In these days, when men are trying to go to the moon, people should not think that Krishna consciousness is concerned with something old-fashioned. When the world is progressing to reach the moon, we are chanting Hare Krishna. But people should not misunderstand and assume that we are lagging behind modern scientific advancement. We have already passed all scientific advancement. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that man's attempt to reach higher planets is not new. Newspaper headlines read, quote, "Man's first steps on the moon," end quote. But the reporters do not know that millions of men have went there and came back. This is not the first time. This is an ancient practice. In Bhagavad Gita 8:16, it is clearly stated, Abrahma bhuvanaloka punaravati norjuna. Quote, "My dear Arjuna, even if you go to the highest planetary system, which is called Brahmaloka, you will have to come back," end quote. Therefore, interplanetary travel is not new. It is known to the Krishna conscious devotees. Since we are Krishna conscious, we take what Krishna says to be the absolute truth. According to Vedic literature, there are many planetary systems. The planetary system in which we are living is called Bhurloka. Above this planetary system is Bhuvarloka. Above that is Svarloka. The moon belongs to the Svarloka planetary system. Above Svarloka is Maharloka, and above that is Janaloka, and above that is Satyaloka. Similarly, there are lower planetary systems. Thus, there are 14 planetary statuses of 14 statuses of planetary systems within this universe, and the Sun is the chief planet. The Sun is described in the Brahma Samhita 5:52. Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samastra sura murti rishesha teja yasyas jasaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govinda madi prusham tamham bhajami. Quote, "I worship Govinda, Krishna, the primeval lord, under whose order the sun assumes immense power and heat and traverses its orbit. The Sun, which is the chief among all planetary systems, is the eye of the Supreme Lord." End quote. Actually, without the Sun, we cannot see. We may be very proud of our eyes, but we cannot even see our next-door neighbor. People challenge, quote, "Can you show me God?" End quote. But what can they see? What is the value of their eyes? God is not cheap. We cannot see anything, not to speak of God, without sunshine. Without sunshine, we are blind. At night, we cannot see anything, and therefore we use electricity because the sun is not present. There is not only one sun in the cosmic manifestation. There are millions and trillions of suns. That is also stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:40. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koteśa śeṣa vasudati vibhuti binam Tad Brahma Nishkalamananta Shesha Bhutam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamam Bhajami. The spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is called the Brahma Jyoti, and in that Brahma Jyoti there are countless planets. Just as within the sunshine there are innumerable planets, in the shining effulgence of the body of Krishna there are innumerable planets and universes. We have knowledge of many universes, and in each universe there is a sun. Thus, there are millions and billions of universes and millions and billions of suns and moons and planets. But Krishna says that if one tries to go to one of these planets, he will simply waste his time. Now someone has gone to the moon. But what will human society gain from it? If, after spending so much money, so much energy, and 10 years of effort, one goes to the moon and simply touches it, what is the benefit of that? Can one remain there and call his friends to come? And even if one goes there and remains, what will be the benefit? As long as we're in this material world, either on this planet or other planets, the same miseries, birth, death, old age, and disease will follow us. We cannot rid ourselves of them. If we go to live on the moon, assuming it is possible, even with an oxygen mask, how long could we stay? Furthermore, even if we had the opportunity to stay there, what would we gain? We might gain a little longer life, perhaps, but we could not live there forever. That is impossible. And what would we gain by a longer life? Tarava kim na jivanti? Are not the trees living for many, many years? Near San Francisco, I have seen a forest where there is a tree 7,000 years old. But what is the benefit? If one is proud of standing in one place for 7,000 years, that is not a very great credit. How one goes to the moon, how he comes back, etc., is a great story, and this is all described in the Vedic literature. It is not a very new process, but the aim of our Krishna consciousness society is different. We are not going to waste our valuable time. Krishna says, quote, don't waste your time attempting to go to this planet or that planet. What will you gain? Your material miseries will follow you wherever you go, end quote. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 397, it is very nicely said by the author, Keha pape keha punya kare vishaya boga, bhakti ganda nahi yate yaya bhavaroga. Quote, in this material world, someone is enjoying and someone is not enjoying, but actually everyone is suffering, although some people think that they're enjoying, whereas others realize that they are suffering, end quote. Actually, everyone is suffering. Who in this material world does not suffer disease? Who does not suffer from old age? Who does not die? No one wants to grow old or suffer from disease, but everyone must do so. Where, then, is the enjoyment? This enjoyment is all nonsense, because within this material world there is no enjoyment. It is simply our imagination. One should not think, quote, this is enjoyment and this is suffering, end quote. Everything is suffering. Therefore, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, quote, the principles of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending will always exist, but they will exist in different standards, end quote. For example, the Americans have taken birth in America as a result of pious activities performed in previous lifetimes. In India, the people are poverty-stricken and are suffering. But although the Americans are eating very nicely buttered bread, and the Indians are eating without butter, they're both eating, nevertheless. The fact that India is poverty-stricken has not caused the whole population to die for want of food. The four principal bodily demands, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, can be satisfied under any circumstances, whether one is born in an impious condition or in a pious condition. The problem, however, is how to become free from the poor principles of birth, old age, death, old age, and disease. This is the real problem. It is not, quote, what shall I eat, end quote. The birds and beasts have no such problem. In the morning, they are immediately chirping, quote, gee, 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 end quote. They know they will have their food. No one is dying, and there is no such thing as overpopulation because everyone is provided for by God's arrangement. There are qualitative differences, but obtaining a superior quality of material enjoyment is not the end of life. The real problem is how to get free of birth, death, old age, and disease. This cannot be solved by simply wasting time traveling within this universe. Even if one goes to the highest planet, this problem cannot be solved, for there is death everywhere. The duration of life on the moon, according to Vedic information, is 10,000 years, and one day is equal to 6 months there. Thus, 10,000 multiplied by 180 years is the duration of life on the moon. However, it is impossible for Earthmen to go to the moon and live there for very long. Otherwise, the whole Vedic literature would be false. We can attempt to go there, but it is not possible to live there. This knowledge is in the Vedas. Therefore, we are not very eager to go to this planet or that planet. We are eager to go directly to the planet where Krishna lives. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti deva vrata devan pritin yanti prativita, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yadi yanti mad yajinopimam. Quote, one can go to the moon, or one can go to the sun, or to millions and trillions of other planets, or if one is too materially attached, he may remain here. But those who are my devotees will come to me, end quote. This is our aim. Initiation into Krishna consciousness ensures that the student ultimately can go to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka. We are not sitting idly. We are also attempting to go to other planets. But we are not merely wasting time. A sane and intelligent man does not wish to enter any of the material planets because the four conditions of material existence, our miseries, exist on all of them. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that even if we enter Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system of this universe, the four principles of misery will be present. We learn from Bhagavad Gita that the duration of one day on Brahmaloka is millions of years of our calculation. That is a fact. Even in the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka can be reached, but scientists say that it would take 40,000 years at Sputnik speed. Who is prepared to travel in space for 40,000 years? From the Vedic literature, we can understand that we can enter any of the planets, provided we prepare for that purpose. If one prepares himself to enter into the higher planetary systems, which are said to be inhabited by demigods, he can go there. Similarly, one can go to a lower planetary system, or if one desires, he may remain on this planet. Finally, if one desires, he can enter the planet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is all a matter of preparation. However, all planetary systems within our material universe are temporary. The duration of life on certain material planets may be very long, but all living entities in the material universe are eventually subject to annihilation and have to again develop other bodies. There are different types of bodies. A human body exists 100 years, whereas an insect body may exist for 12 hours. Thus, the duration of these different bodies is relative. If one enters the planet called Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual planet, however, then he achieves eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge. A human being can attain that perfection if he tries. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, quote, anyone who knows in truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead can attain to my nature, end quote. Many people claim, quote, God is great, end quote, but this is a hackneyed phrase. One must know how he is great. And that can be known from authorized scripture. In the Bhagavad Gita, God describes himself. He says, quote, my appearance of taking birth, just like an ordinary human being, is actually transcendental, end quote. God is so kind that he comes before us as an ordinary human being, but his body is not exactly like a human body. Those rascals who do not know about him think that Krishna is like one of us. That is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Abhijananti ma mudha manasim tanam ashritam prambhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Quote, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. End quote. We have a chance to know about Krishna, provided we read the right literature under the right direction. And if we simply know what the nature of God is, then by our understanding this one fact alone, by this fact alone, we become liberated. It is not possible in our human condition to understand the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead completely. But with the help of Bhagavad Gita, the statements given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and of the Spiritual Master, we can know him to the best of our capacity. If we can know him in reality, then immediately after leaving this body, we can enter into the kingdom of God. Krishna says, Tuk de deham pranar janma naiti mamiti sarjana. Quote, after leaving this body, one who is in knowledge does not come again to this material world, for he enters into the spiritual world and comes to me. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. The purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to propagate this advanced scientific idea to people in general, and the process is very simple. Simply by chanting the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one cleanses the dirt from his heart and gains an understanding that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and that his duty is to serve him. This process is very pleasant. We chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we dance rhythmically, we eat nice prasad. While enjoying this life, we are preparing to enter into the kingdom of God in our next life. This is not a fabrication. It is all factual. Although to a layman, this appears to be a fabrication, Krishna reveals himself from within to one who is serious about God realization. Both Krishna and the spiritual master help the sincere soul. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of God who is situated in everyone's heart as supersoul. For one who is very serious about understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, supersoul immediately renders assistance by directing him to a bona fide spiritual master. In this way, the spiritual candidate is helped from within and without. According to the Bhagavad Purana, the Supreme Truth is realized in three stages. First, there is impersonal Brahman, or the impersonal absolute, and the Paramatma, or localized aspect of Brahman. The neutron of the atom may be taken as the representation of Paramatma, who also enters into the atom. This is described in the Brahma Samhita. But ultimately, the divine, supreme divine being is realized as the supreme, all-attractive person, Krishna, with full and inconceivable potencies of opulence, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. These six potencies are fully exhibited by Sri Ram and Sri Krishna when they descend before human beings. Only a section of human beings, the unalloyed devotees, can recognize Krishna on the authority of revealed scriptures, but others are bewildered by the influence of material energy. The Absolute Truth is therefore the Absolute Person who has no equal or competitor. The impersonal Brahman rays are the rays of his transcendental body, just as the sun's rays are emanations from the sun. According to the Vishnu Purana, the material energy is called avidya, or nescience, and is exhibited in the fruitive activities of sense enjoyment. But although the living being has the tendency to be illusioned and trapped by the material energy for sense enjoyment, he belongs to the anti-material energy or spiritual energy. In this sense, the living being is the positive energy, whereas matter is the negative energy. Matter does not develop unless in contact with the superior spiritual or anti-material energy, which is directly part and parcel of the spiritual whole. The subject matter of this spiritual energy exhibited by living beings is undoubtedly very complicated for an ordinary man who is therefore astounded by the subject. Sometimes he partially understands it through the imperfect senses, and sometimes he fails to know it altogether. It is best, therefore, to hear from the highest authority, Sri Krishna, or from his devotee who represents him in the chain of disciplic succession. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant for the purpose of understanding God. The spiritual master is the living representative of Krishna who helps externally, and Krishna, as supersoul, helps internally. The living being can take advantage of such guidance and make his life successful. We request that everyone read authoritative literature in order to understand this movement. We have published Bhagavad Gita as it is, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing our magazine, Back to Godhead, every month in many languages. Our mission is to save human society from the pitfalls of incarnating again in the cycle of birth and death. Everyone should attempt to go to Krishna. We have published an article in our Back to Godhead magazine entitled, quote, Beyond the Universe, end quote. This article describes a place beyond this universe according to knowledge, which is in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a very popular book, and there are many editions of it in America and also many from India. Unfortunately, however, many rascals have come to the West to preach Bhagavad Gita. They are designated as rascals because they are bluffers who do not give real information. In our Bhagavad Gita as it is, however, the spiritual nature is authoritatively described. This cosmic manifestation is called, quote, nature, end quote. But there is another nature, which is superior. The cosmic manifestation is inferior nature, but beyond this nature, which is manifested and unmanifested, there is another nature, which is called Sanatan, eternal. It is easy to understand that everything manifested here is temporary. The obvious example is our body. If one is 30 years old, 30 years ago his body was not manifested, and in another 50 years it will again be unmanifested. That is a factual law of nature. It is manifested and again annihilated just as waves in the sea rise frequently and then recede. The materialist, however, is simply concerned with this mortal life, which can be finished at any moment. Furthermore, as this body will die, so the entire universe, this gigantic material body, will be annihilated. And whether we are fortunate or unfortunate, on this planet or on another planet, everything will be finished. Why, then, are we wasting our time trying to go to a planet where everything will be finished? We should try to go to Krishna Loka. This is spiritual science. We must try to understand it, and after understanding it ourselves, we should preach this message to the whole world. Everyone is in darkness. Although people have no knowledge, they are very proud. It is not advancement of knowledge to go to the moon after 10 years of effort and take a rock and come back. The space travelers are very proud, quote, oh, I have touched it, end quote. But what have they gained? Even if we were able to live there, it would not be for long. It will all be destroyed in the end. Try to find that planet from which one will never return, where there is eternal life, and where one can dance with Krishna. This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Take this movement seriously, for Krishna consciousness gives one a chance to reach Krishna and to dance with him eternally. From Vedic literature, we understand that this material world is a manifestation of only one-fourth of the complete creation of God. The three-fourths portion of God's creation is the spiritual world. That we find in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, quote, this material world is but a fractional part of the whole, end quote. If we look as far as we can see up to the sky, our vision is still confined within only one universe, and there are unlimited universes clustered together within what is called the material world. But beyond these clusters of unlimited numbers of universes is the spiritual sky, which is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says that beyond the material world is another nature which is eternal. There is no history of its beginning, and it has no end. Quote, eternal, end quote, refers to that which has no end and no beginning. The Vedic religion is therefore called eternal because no one can trace back where it began. The Christian religion has a history of 2,000 years, and the Mohammedan religion also has a history. But if one were to trace out back Vedic religion, he would not find its historical beginning. Therefore, it is called eternal religion. We may rightly say that God created this material world, and this indicates that God existed before the creation. The very word, quote, created, end quote, suggests that before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord was existing. Therefore, God is not under the creation. If God were under the creation, how could he have created? He would instead have been one of the objects of this material creation. But God is not under the creation. He is the creator, and therefore he is eternal. There is a spiritual sky where there are innumerable spiritual planets and innumerable spiritual living entities, But those who are not fit to live in that spiritual world are sent to this material world. Voluntarily, we have accepted this material body, but actually we are spirit souls who should not have accepted it. When and how we accepted it cannot be traced. No one can trace the history of when the conditioned soul first accepted the material body. There are 8,400,000 forms of living entities, 900,000 species of living entities within the water, 2 million species of life among the plants and vegetables. Unfortunately, this Vedic knowledge is not instructed by any university, but these are the facts. Let the botanists and anthropologists research into the Vedic conclusion. Darwin's theory of the evolution of organic matter is, of course, very prominent in its institutions of learning, but the Bhagavad Purana and other authoritative scriptures of scientific magnitude describe how the living entities in different forms of body evolves one after another. It is not a new idea, but educators are giving stress only to Darwin's theory, although in Vedic literatures, we have immense information of the living conditions in the material world. We are only a fractional portion of all the living entities in the many universes of the material world. Those who are in the material world have and material body are condemned. For instance, the population in prison is condemned by the government, but their number is only a fraction of the whole population. It is not that the whole population goes to prison. Some, who are disobedient, are confined in prison. Similarly, the conditioned souls within this material world are only a fraction of all living entities in the creation of God, and because they have disobeyed God, because they did not abide by the order of Krishna, they have been put into this material world. If one is sensible and inquisitive, he should try to understand, quote, why have I been put into this conditional life? I do not wish to suffer, end quote. There are three kinds of suffering, including miseries pertaining to the body and mind. In Hawaii, in front of my house, a man was keeping some animals and birds for the purpose of taking them to be slaughtered. I give this example to my students. Quote, these animals are standing here, and if you tell them, quote, oh, my dear animals, why are you standing here? Go away. You are meant for the slaughterhouse. They cannot go. They have no intelligence, end quote. Suffering without knowledge, without remedy, is animal life. One who cannot understand that he is suffering or who thinks that he is very well off is an animal in animal consciousness, not human consciousness. The human being should be cognizant of suffering, the threefold miseries of this planet. One should know that he is suffering in birth, suffering in death, suffering in old age, and suffering in disease. And one should be inquisitive as to how he may avoid the suffering. That is real research work. We have suffered from the beginning of our birth. As a baby, the human being is tightly placed in the abdomen of the mother in an airtight bag for 9 months. He cannot even move. There are insects biting him, and he cannot protest. After the child comes out, the suffering continues. The mother undoubtedly takes much care, but still the child cries because he is suffering. There are bugs biting him, or there are pains in his stomach. The child is crying, and the mother does not know how to pacify him. His suffering begins in the womb of his mother, and then after his birth, as he grows up, there is more suffering. He does not want to go to school, but he is forced to. He does not want to study, but the teacher gives him tasks. If we analyze our life, we will find that it is full of suffering. Why then are we coming here? The conditioned souls are not very bright. We should inquire, quote, why am I suffering, end quote. If there is a remedy, we must take advantage of it. We are eternally connected with the Supreme Lord. But somehow or other, we are now in material contamination. Therefore, we must take up a process by which we can go back again to the spiritual world. That linking process is called yoga. The actual translation of the word yoga is, quote, plus, end quote. At the present moment, we are minus God or minus the Supreme. But when we make ourselves plus connected, then our human form of life is perfect. During our lifetime, we have to practice approaching that point of perfection, and at the time of death, when we give up this material body, that perfection has to be realized. At the time of death, one must be prepared. Students, for instance, prepare for 2 to 5 years in college, and the final test of their education is the examination. If they pass the examination, they get a degree. Similarly, in the subject of life, if we prepare for the examination at the time of death and pass it, then we are transferred to the spiritual world. Everything is examined at the time of death. There is a very common Bengali proverb that says that whatever one does for perfection will be tested at the time of his death. Bhagavad Gita describes what we should do at the point of our death when we are giving up this present body. For the Dhanya Yoga meditator, Sri Krishna speaks the following verses. Yad aksharam vedo vidyo vedanti vishanti tad yataro vitaraga. Yad ichhanto brahmacharyam charanti tate padam sangrahena pravakshye sarva dvarani samyamya mano hridi apnudhya cha murdni adhyatmana pranam astito yoga dharanam. Quote, persons learned in the Vedas who utter Omkar and who are great sages in the renounced order enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now explain to you this process by which you may attain salvation. The yogic salvation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of one of the head, one establishes himself in yoga, end quote. Bhagavad Gita 8:11-12. In the yoga system, this process is called pratyahara, which means, in technical language, quote, the opposite, end quote. Now the eyes are engaged in seeing worldly beauty, so one has to withdraw them from enjoying that beauty and concentrate on seeing beauty inside. That is called pratyahara. Similarly, one has to hear the omkar sound from within. Omiti eksharanam ekaksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaram ya prayati tyajan deham sa yati paramam gatim. Quote, after being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable om, the supreme letter combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets, end quote. Bhagavad Gita 8:13. In this way, all the senses have to be stopped in their external activities, and the mind must be concentrated on Vishnumurti, the form of Lord Vishnu. That is the perfection of yoga. The mind is very turbulent, so it has to be fixed upon the heart. When the mind is fixed within the heart and the life air is transferred to the top of the head, one can attain the perfection of yoga. The perfect yogi then determines where he is to go. There are innumerable material planets, and beyond these planets there is the spiritual world. Yogis have this information from Vedic scriptures. For example, before I came to the United States, I read descriptions of it from books. Similarly, a description of the higher planets and the spiritual world can be found in the Vedic scriptures. The yogi knows everything. He can transfer himself to any planet he likes. He does not need the help of spacecraft. Material scientists have been trying for many years, and they will go on trying for 100 or 1,000 years more, but they will never reach any planet. Maybe by a scientific process, one or two men may reach some planet, but that is not the general process. The general process, accepted process for transferal to other planets is the practice of the yoga system, or the jhāna system. The bhakti system, however, is not meant for transferal to any material planet. Those who engage in the devotional service of Krishna or the Supreme Lord are not interested in any of the planets of this material world because they know that no matter to which planet one elevates himself, he will still find the four principles of material existence there nonetheless. On some planets, the duration of life is much longer than on Earth, but death is there. Those who are Krishna conscious, however, transcend this material life of birth, death, old age, and disease. Spiritual life means reliefs from this botheration and misery. Those who are intelligent, therefore, do not try to elevate themselves to any planet of this material world. Men are trying to reach the moon, although it is very difficult to gain entrance to that planet, or if we do gain entrance, the period of our lives will be enhanced. Of course, that does not apply to life in this body. If we were to enter the moon with this body, instant death would be certain. When one enters into a planetary system, he must have a suitable body for that planet. Every planet is inhabited by living entities with bodies suitable for that planet. For instance, we can enter the water with this body, but we cannot live there. We may stay there for 15 or 16 hours, or maybe 24 hours, but that's all. Aquatic animals, however, have particular bodies suitable for living their whole lives in that water. Similarly, if one takes a fish out of water and puts it on the land, it will die instantly. As we understand that even on this planet, there are different kinds of bodies for living in particular places, so similarly, if we want to enter another planet, we have to prepare ourselves to get a suitable body. If one transfers himself and his soul transmigrates to the moon by this yogic process, he gets a long duration of life. On the higher planets, 6 of our months equals 1 day. Thus, the living beings there live for 10,000 years. That is the description of the Vedic literature. So undoubtedly, one can get a very long duration of life, but still, there is death. After 10,000 or 20,000 years, or even after millions of years, it does not matter, death comes. Actually, we are not subject to death. That is affirmed in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita 2:20. Yana hanyate hanimani sarede. We are spirit soul, and therefore we are eternal. Why then should we subject ourselves to death and birth? It is intelligent to think in this way. Those who are Krishna conscious are very intelligent because they are not interested in getting promotion to any planet where there is death, despite the long duration of life there. Rather, they want to get a body like God's. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. God's body is Satchidananda. Sat means eternal, Chit means full of knowledge, and Ananda means full of pleasure. It is stated in the pamphlet, in our pamphlet, Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, if we transfer ourselves to the spiritual world, to Krishna's planet, or to any other spiritual planet, then we will get a body similar to God's, Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. So those who try to be Krishna conscious have a different aim of life than those who are trying to promote themselves to the better planets in this material world. Krishna says, Murjini Adhyanatmana Paranam Asito Yoga Dharanam. Quote, the perfection of yoga is to transfer oneself to the spiritual world, end quote. Bhagavad Gita 8:12. The spirit soul is a minute particle within the body. We cannot see it. One practices the yoga system to raise the soul to the topmost part of the head. This practice goes on while one is living, and the perfection is reached when one can place himself on the top of the head and then break through. Then he can transfer himself to whatever higher planet he likes. That is the perfection of the yogi. If the yogi is inquisitive to see the moon, he can say, quote, ah, let me see what the moon is like. Then I shall transfer myself to the higher planets, end quote. Just like travelers who go to Europe, California, Canada, or other countries on Earth, one can transfer oneself to many planets by this yoga system, but anywhere he goes, he will find visa systems and customs systems. To go to other planets, he must be qualified. The Krishna-conscious persons are not interested in any temporary planet, even if it is offering a long duration of life. if the yogi at the time of death can pronounce Om, the concise form of transcendental vibration, and at the same time, Mam Anusmaran, remember Krishna, Vishnu, he will attain perfection. The purpose of the entire yoga system is to concentrate the mind on Vishnu. Impersonalists imagine that they see the form of Vishnu or the Lord, but those who are personalists do not imagine this. They actually see the form of the Supreme Lord. Either way, if one concentrates his mind through imagination or if one actually sees, one has to concentrate his mind on the Vishnu form. Mam means, quote, unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu, end quote. Anyone who leaves this body and concentrates his mind on Vishnu enters into the spiritual kingdom after quitting his body. Those who are actually yogis do not desire to enter any other planet because they know that life is temporary on the temporary planets and thus they are not interested. That is intelligence. Those who are satisfied with temporary happiness, temporary life, and temporary facilities are not intelligent, according to Bhagavad Gita 7.23, Antavat tu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpamedasan, quote, one whose brain substance is very meager is interested in temporary things, end quote. That is the version of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I am eternal, so why should I be interested in non-permanent things? Who wants non-permanent existence? No one wants it. If we are living in an apartment and the landlord asks us to vacate, we are sorry, but we are not sorry if we move to a better apartment. This, then, is our inclination. We do not wish to die because we are eternal. The material atmosphere is robbing us of our eternality. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, quote, our duration of life is being diminished by the sun beginning from its rising until the time it sets, end quote. Daily, we are losing the duration of our lives. If the sun rises at 5:30 in the morning, at 5:30 in the evening, 12 hours have been taken away from the duration of our lives. We will never get this time back. If we ask any scientist, quote, I will give you $12 million. Please give me back these 12 hours, end quote. He will reply, quote, no, it is not possible, end quote. Scientists cannot do it. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says that from sunrise to sunset, the duration of our lives is being diminished. Time is called Kala, past, present, and future. What is now present, tomorrow will be past. What is now future, tomorrow will be present. But this past, present, and future are the past, present, and future of the body. We do not belong to the category of the past, present, and future. We belong to the category of eternity. Therefore, one should be concerned with how to attain or how to be elevated to the platform of eternity. The developed consciousness of the human being should be utilized not in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but in searching out the valuable path which will help him to get that life of eternity. It is said that the sun is taking away our duration of life every minute, every hour, every day, but if we engage ourselves in topics of Uttama Shloka, the topics of the Lord, that time cannot be taken away. The time one devotes in the Krishna consciousness temple cannot be taken away. It is an asset, a plus, not a minus. The duration of life, as so far as this body is concerned, may be taken. However one tries to keep it intact, one cannot do it. But the spiritual education we receive in Krishna consciousness cannot be taken away by the sun. It becomes a solid asset. Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare is a very easy thing to do. Time spent in chanting cannot be taken away, like time pertaining to the body. 50 years ago, I was a young man, but that time has been taken and cannot be returned. The spiritual knowledge I received from my spiritual master, however, cannot be taken away, but will go with me. Even after I quit this body, it will go with me, and if it is perfect in this life, then it will take me to the eternal abode. Both the material and spiritual worlds belong to Krishna. We are not proprietors of anything. It is all the property of the Supreme Lord, just as everything in the state belongs to the government, either in the prison house or outside the prison house. Conditioned life is just like life in a prison house in this material world. A prisoner cannot freely change from one cell to another. In free life, one can go from one house to another home. But in prison life, one cannot do that, but must stay in his cell. All these planets are like cells. We are trying to go to the moon, but it is not practical by mechanical means. Whether we are American, Indian, Chinese, or Russian, we have been given this planet to live on. We cannot leave, although there are millions and billions of planets, and although we have machines by which we can, because we are conditioned by the laws of nature, God's laws. A man who is put into a certain cell cannot change at will without superior authority. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one should not try to change from one cell to another. That will not make anyone happy. If a prisoner thinks, quote, I am in this cell, let me request the warden to change my cell, and I will be happy, end quote. That is a mistaken idea. One cannot be happy so long as he is within the prison walls. We are trying to be happy by changing cells from capitalism to communism. The aim should become to become free from this ism or that ism. One has to change completely from this, quote, ism, end quote, of materialism. Then he can become happy. That is the program of Krishna consciousness. We are taking advice from the Supreme Person. He says, quote, my dear Arjuna, you may be elevated to the highest planetary system, which is called Brahmaloka, and is desirable because life there is very long, end quote. We cannot calculate even a half day there. It is beyond our mathematical calculations. But even in Brahmaloka, there is death. Therefore, Krishna says, quote, do not waste your time trying to elevate yourself or transfer yourself from this planet to that planet, end quote. The people I have seen in America are very restless. They go from one apartment to another apartment or from one country to another country. That restlessness is there because we are searching after our real home. To go from this place or that place will not give eternal life. Eternal life is with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, quote, everything belongs to me, and I have the super excellent abode, which is called Golok Vrindavan, end quote. If one wants to go there, he must simply become Krishna conscious and try to understand how Krishna appears and disappears, what his constitutional position is, what our constitutional position is, what our relationship with him is, and how to live. Simply try to understand these ideas scientifically. Everything in Krishna consciousness is scientific. It is not bogus, whimsical,